This is part two of how to level up your email marketing with wedding business strategist Carissa Cruz. If you're not familiar with Carissa or didn't get a chance to tune into part one, Carissa is the founder of Weddings by Carew, which is a multi-state and multi-service wedding business. She has coached hundreds of entrepreneurs through launching and scaling their businesses with strategy and funnels. It's all coming up right here on Funktastic Chats. Last time we chatted about how to create the perfect welcome sequence, how authentic-based story emails make you the expert of your field and build a trust factor with your brides, why you need a lead magnet on your website and not just a contact form, so much more. So if you haven't had a chance, go back and listen to part one. But here in part two, we're going to be continuing the conversation. We're going to be looking at your call to actions, building the trust and not just come off as trying to sell you. How to close the sale with one phrase that Carissa uses every single time. You had a great call with the lead and they ghost you. Now what? Are you using tools and strategy, or are you coming across too pushy? Here's part two with Carissa Cruz. When is the right time to ask for your lead to get on the phone with you? Is that the first thing that plays into your welcome emails or your email back to the client is the goal of getting them on the phone? Or do you find that in some cases it could be too high commitment of a question?
So in some cases it's too high commitment and it will turn them off. So what I have found is if they emailed in through my website, so if they sent, if they emailed directly in through my website, that's a different contact form. And so I consider that a hot lead. For those people, I always follow up with a phone call, and then if I don't get them on the phone, I leave a voicemail, and then I usually follow up with a text. And in my voicemail, I'll say, hey, text you in case that's easier to communicate. So that way they know, hey, I'm not just trying to bug them. I kind of set that tone of, hey, here's what I'm planning to do, just so they know.
Yeah.
And I find that people will text me back a lot of times. Now, if they come in through... And then usually if I finish that process, if they get them on the phone like that, then they'll either book the call with you or they'll just tell you what they're looking for. And so then you can still get them the information if they don't want to talk. Some brides just don't want to hop on the phone. And we just need to know that in today's world that not every bride wants to speak with you. They just might want to do it through email or texting or through Messenger or whatever that might be. I book brides all the time that are just through that form or through that way. So we just want to make sure we're looking at how they want to be communicated with. So one thing you can do on your form on your website is you can ask how they want to be communicated with. You can test that out and see how that works if you're struggling, and then, or if you're always unsure, and then you can go confidently in and say, hey, you know what? They told me to text them. They told me to call them. They told me to email them. And then you can work that process that way if you're uncomfortable or just kind of unsure, because I do have wedding pros that, you know, they don't want to bug people and that kind of thing. So that's kind of one little tactic you can use. But if they come in through your lead magnet, we want to deliver the lead magnet first. So we deliver that right away after they sign up, and it's automated, so you don't have to do anything on your end. And then what I usually say is we want to kind of tell them a little bit about you within those emails. So we want to give a little background on who you are, what you do, why you do it, throw in some authentic stuff about you. You don't need to keep it so kind of, you want to be professional, but you don't need to keep it like so professional that it's over the top and just doesn't resonate with them. You want to show that you're human, because people buy from people. So they want to see, hey, you know what, you're just like me kind of thing, and down to earth or whatever your brand is. That way they go, I want to work with you. So if you can build that connection with them in those kind of next couple emails, is so usually those, you have your lead magnet email, and then the next couple emails we want to do is more based on building that know and trust factor, is kind of the terminology we use for that. And then we go into that next email of kind of more of what we do and how we can help them and trying to book that call with them. And there's always different ways you can go about that. And I use Calendly for getting them to book calls as well. And that works really well because they can go on and just find a time. And it seems like it doesn't have this back and forth. There's not a hiccup within the process of trying to, you know, figure that piece out. You always want to make everything you do for your bride or your client easy. I'm big on figuring out what can you do to streamline and make it easy for them, because you're making it an easy yes then. So the more stuff you have together, like within your business, that will be seen by that lead or that bride. And they're going to go, hey, you know what? They have their stuff together on the front end. They probably have their stuff together on the back end. So it's just that kind of perception that you're putting out there. And that's where kind of too, like with HoneyBook and things like that, you can do easily send the proposal. They can sign the contract right through there and pay all through that same system. So it makes it really easy for them that they're not having to print anything out. They're not having to go to this system and then pay the over here. You just want to keep everything very streamlined as much as possible for that bride or client.
When they get a lead from the Knot or Wedding Wire, when they're more competitive space and these systems have their own inboxes, do a lot of your clients just take that email address and put it in the active campaign and not worry so much about the actual inbox in the Knot or Wedding Wire? Do you find that most people will answer through their personal email, or how does that shift?
Yep. So I usually recommend with those for the Knot or Wedding Wire leads, go ahead and respond to them right away and see if they engage with you. Because every once in a while you do get one that, you know, does respond and, hey, is super interested or has already seen you other multiple places, and that's just the place that they're reaching out
every
to
once
at.
In a while.
So every once in a while. Yeah. Every once in a while. Yeah. So, and I do like to give them a little bit more of that personal touch because they did reach out. So for those, I always say reach out once and just connect with them, share whatever information, however they message. And you can kind of see if it's a generic message and like they sent it to multiple people, or you can see if they kind of gave you more detail and they're more kind of really interested. Sometimes you'll have, hey, you did wedding. So then, oh, hey, they're a little bit hotter of a lead. Like, it just kind of depends on what they said. But if it feels like it's a little more generic, I would still respond. And then I would wait a day and see if they responded back. If not, then I would throw them into my active campaign, my welcome sequence.
Are you taking their Knot email, or are you taking their Gmail email? Which one? I assume their Gmail email goes into active campaign.
Correct. Yes.
Or their personal
Hold their
email?
Gmail email. Yep. Your personal email. Whatever they use for their personal email is what I would recommend. You can respond back to them on the Knot within that 24 hours, like I mentioned. But then I would, just pull their personal email and use that to put into active campaign. And what I was going to mention was, once you're done with the welcome sequence, and with that welcome sequence, you want to send, I usually say 6 emails for your welcome sequence, kind of as a starting place. And you want to send those one day apart. And I know that sounds like a lot. And that, like, wedding pros go, oh my gosh, but again, they're not always opening all of those emails because they're busy. And so most of the time they're not seeing them all anyways. So that's kind of why you want to do that one day apart. And if they were kind of thinking it is in the top of their mind, then we want to kind of grasp them. We don't want to wait too many days in between those. Now, if that feels a little too, oh my gosh, I can't do that, then go ahead and do every 2 days. And then you can start there, and then you can always move it back to one day if you want. But that's kind of what I say for that. And then once you're done with the welcome sequence, we don't just let them go into a black hole. We want to then put them on our weekly email list, where we're then just sending one email a week. So it's like our weekly newsletter, kind of. And we can have that kind of be whatever we want it to be. So it might be that you showcase a wedding you just did. It might be that you want to give some value or do a topic on something, or, and it doesn't have to be like crazy long. It doesn't have to, but it's kind of your touch base. Hey, I'm still here. Keep me top of mind. And you can say, hey, if you're still looking for a photographer, DJ, whatever it is, feel free to, you know, book a call with me here. And you can do a PS with that or however you want to build that in. But a lot of times what I see is people will do the front end piece, and then that's where the follow-up really falls off. And so the weekly newsletter really helps to keep that follow-up going without much additional work or much, or without you feeling like you're bombarding them, or because you're going to still kind of give them some value. You're not just going to follow up and say, hey, are you ready to book my services? You're going to give them something of value that they're like, hey, you know what? I want to help you with plan your wedding or whatever. And you're going to have people unsubscribe from you. Okay. That's the other piece I want to tell your audience is, and it's okay. Those are not your fit people. Those are not your right fit clients. Those aren't the people. They might have booked somebody someplace else, and that's fine. Don't feel bad about that. Don't get down on yourself because you had 3 unsubscribes or whatever it is. They've moved on. So we just need to move on. Like, and so when they unsubscribe, I actually love that because I go, you know what? That's one less, you know, person I'm not going to put my energy into if they are not interested in our services. And I know we automatically go to when somebody unsubscribes or somebody says, no, I'm not booking your services, we automate, and I do it too. You automatically go to, oh, well, what did I do wrong? Or what, why didn't they book me? Or, and most of the time it is not about you. It's about them, their situation, their wedding, whatever. So if I love to kind of teach that just because people get so down on themselves sometimes that we just need to remember it's not always about us. It's not usually about us. It's probably has to do with their budget. It probably has to do with maybe a parent. It has to do with a lot of other factors that it's okay. And we just need to say, you know what? That's all right. And keep moving on and don't put our energy towards that piece of it.
Definitely. And hearing the word no can be a great thing. And then vice versa, being able to give the word no is also a great thing. But not negotiating against yourself. If something isn't the right situation for you, it's okay to respond no, vice versa. I think that's awesome. I think it's pretty interesting that you're responding once a day for a week. Because like you said, these people have other lives, they have day jobs, they're not thinking about their wedding that's a year or 2 years from now every second of the day. So I think it's pretty fascinating that you found that level of communication was what works.
Yeah, yep, definitely. And I know it sounds over the top when I, you know, teach it, and I've thought the same thing, but I've tested it. I've had other clients that have done it and they're like, oh my gosh, you're right. This is what I needed to do. So years ago, we didn't get as many emails and things like that. So it didn't need to be that way. But even if you go to your email nowadays, you look at it and you just get this whole slew of emails and you're only pulling out the ones that catch you. So that's also why you need to have catchy subject lines. So and that's a whole nother rabbit hole I can go down. Then inside the course, I talk about this too on how to troubleshoot your funnel. If there's different stats and things like that we need to look at to see what are your open rates? What are your things like that? And then we can tweak things once you have it built to make it better. So there's always kind of some things that way that we can do. And that's where, again, where more of those stats and data comes in that is kind of my brain loves.
I noticed a few things about your email sequences that I've loved so far receiving them myself. First of all, the subject line, things I wish I knew when I became a wedding pro. Hello, I need to open this right now. You know what I mean? That's a great subject line. I want to know, it's value to me. And then also, there's just not a bunch of pictures and clutter. It's informational, which is something I don't, especially in some of these services, they're just flooded with pictures and YouTube links. And a lot of the times I feel like it winds up going to my spam folder when that happens too. It's nice to see a nice mix of that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's fun. ActiveCampaign makes it really easy to use. One thing I do like to use within emails too that are kind of fun and work well with brides too is gifts. So you can kind of throw those in every once in a while. And there's some fun like wedding ones or different, you know, that you probably find one that kind of pertains to maybe your messaging within your article. But that just always kind of adds a little bit kind of fun to them to show that, yeah, like that, that you're human and that kind of thing again. So if there's a specific TV show that you love or something like that, you can always kind of pull something from that too and tie it in with, because one of the emails that I talk about is saying something along the lines of sharing like 5 things about you that are just random. And so you could throw in something, a GIF along with that or something like that. So that's always a fun thing to add.
And then do all of your emails like end with that call to action of, please feel free to schedule a time with me here or something like that? Or is it a little mixed? What are your call to actions like at the end of those 6 yep. week long emails that you send out?
Yep. So on the very first one where you're delivering your lead magnet, there's no call to action. The next one, I usually don't put a call to action on that one either, because what we're trying to do is build that trust factor with them. So we're trying to set the stage like, hey, I'm not just trying to sell you what I have to offer. So they see that, because a lot of times, if you'll notice that when you look at emails now, if you get one and it doesn't have like a book a call here or book do this or that, you go, oh, it actually pulls you in because you're like, well, you didn't ask me to book a call. Like you didn't ask me to do anything. Like you just gave me an email. Well, that's kind of cool. So it kind of gives that feeling, it gives them that warm and fuzzy feeling. Like you're not just, hey, I want to sell you what I have to offer. So usually on that third email, I think I put it in the kind of a PS type. I kind of start to drop it in there. So if they are interested, I usually always link the header image or the header logo, whatever you use kind of in your email to the generic website. So if you can, a lot of people know like that image or whatever is linked. So if you do have somebody that kind of wants more information right away, they usually know to go there. So I always do link that one, but I don't have it where it's like anywhere within the email usually. And then on that third email, because what happens is too, then they're looking forward to your emails, because then they're like, well, hey, they didn't ask me to do anything. And now they're like wanting to open your email and go, hey, because I want more information. So that's what we're really trying to strive for, is build that relationship where they're not getting that from any other competitor or your competition. So you're creating that. And so I would say that third and then fourth, fifth, sixth email are kind of the ones that you're going to drop those call to actions in. And you can figure out what works well for you and your audience and the services you offer. So, you know, if you're a venue, for instance, you're going to want to try to get them in to see your venue. If you're a DJ and most of your brides just book through email, or then you can say, maybe it's, hey, shoot me a reply back with what you're looking for. So it's going to kind of, the call to actions will kind of determine what your business is, what you offer and how you run your business. Cause I have some wedding pros that are like, you know what? I don't want to do consultation calls. Like I just want to do through email. So then you're just going to set that expectation, you know, with them. That's how you want to operate your business. I do recommend consultation calls if you're open to them, because I think you learn a lot from talking to your brides and couples, and you learn kind of what they're looking for, and you can do a lot of market research in your own head as you're talking to these people and know how to change things, what to offer next, or, you know, what to add, all that good stuff.
For those who aren't familiar with this kind of level of automation, this is not only automation, this is automation with personalization. You could personalize their name, their venue. You could really personalize any field that you want automatically. And I think that nothing feels spammy. Everything is just so personalized in the process. And actually, when you do get them on the phone, just to wrap things up here, just be able to transpire everything that we're talking about on the phone. When you do get on the phone with the client, you have a sales script that you use to close 85 to 90% of your own calls. How have your clients gone about approaching sales calls differently since getting that script from you?
Yep. So the biggest thing that I found is being able to really dive in and finding out what your bride or couple is looking for. So when we get them on the phone, we want to really let them know that we care about them and their wedding and care about what's important to them. That is kind of the key factor when you're doing a consultation. If you can make them feel heard, you will most likely close that sale. And that's a lot of times what happens is wedding pros get on a consultation and they just want to sell what they have to offer, which we're going to do that in the call, but we're just going to do it a little bit different of a way because we want to really understand what there is important to them and then sell to those pieces. Okay. So not every bride or couple is going to have the same thing that's important for their wedding, but your services probably fit for all of those weddings. So if you can kind of find out what's important and then tweak your wording back to them, then you're going to end up snagging them in to want to book you more often. The one thing is that I find is that people end up not really finding out what it is that that's truly important to that client. And then they just kind of want to sell what they have and you're not making that connection. And so one of the phrases I always use multiple times within my sales call is, you know, after I kind of find out what they're looking for and then reiterate back what's in the package that we offer or whatever, I usually say, does this sound like what you're looking for? That's like my one-liner phrase, because if you get them to say yes, you're most likely going to book them, okay? And I usually use that phrase several times within our conversation because they're then implanting that yes into their own heads as well. Okay, I've said yes to this gal 4 times or whatever now. Like they don't know that, but they've created a habit already. Yes, you have what I want. Yes. And then they're like, hey, yes, this is what I want. I want to book this person. So that is my one phrase. Does this sound like what you were looking for? And then I usually will use that same phrase when I send the proposal. So at the very last, my very last sentence, because I'm always big on using some type of question at the end so that you're keeping that communication open, is does this proposal include everything you're looking for? So I tweak it just a little bit, but again, I already know it does because I had that conversation with them that really found out what it is they're looking for. They already told me that this is what they're looking for. And so again, they're saying to themselves after they get to that question, they go, yeah, this is what I'm looking for. And then they're more apt to book.
It really filters down the options that you offer too. I feel like that question does a really great job of doing that, because I feel like a lot of wedding pros have a tendency to offer everything that every service that the wedding pro offers, they're offering to the client.
You know, yeah.
Oh, we're going to have 300 guests, 400 guests. Oh, great. Well, we have a 6-piece band, a 7-piece band, 8-piece band, 9-piece band. We have a jazz trio, a ceremony. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
correct.
A lot of times it creates buyer's paralysis where nobody books anything. So I think that question is really awesome.
Yep, you are absolutely correct. Because we don't want to give them too many options that they get overwhelmed, because then they just don't know what to do. So you as the expert, they're coming to you as an expert in what you do. So they're looking for, and especially if they hop on a consultation call, they're really looking for your expertise and your guidance to help them choose the right package and the right fit for their wedding. So that's where figuring out what's important to them really like pulls in and goes, oh my gosh, like she gets me, like, and then she has what I want. This is awesome. And they don't want to have to, brides and couples don't want to have to research a ton of people. Like they really don't. And they end up doing that when they're not finding what they're looking for.
How does your email marketing shift or change after the phone call? You quoted them, radio silence.
Yep. So a lot of times after I get done with my consultation calls, I will always follow up with, are you okay if I send a proposal? So I never just say, hey, I'm going to send you a proposal. I always ask them, hey, next step would be, are you okay with if I send you a proposal? So that way you're also not assuming you're getting another yes from them. And usually what I do is after about, if I haven't heard anything back after about 3 or 4 days, I'll just follow up with them and say, hey, I wanted to just check in. And I do it a really like not pushy way, just checking in to make sure you got the proposal, see if there was any questions that you had. And I kind of leave it at that because I don't want to be too pushy right away. Like I'm kind of an anti-pushy person. I try to use other tools and things around that and strategy in order to book those sales. And one other thing I should mention too is after I send the proposal, I'll always text the bride or couple, whoever I chatted with. And I tell them this on the consultation call. I'll say, hey, I'll send you over the proposal. After I send it, I'll send you a text to let you know I sent it. So that way you can make sure it landed in your inbox. Sometimes it lands in spam. So I just want to make sure you get it. So I'll shoot you a text. And then that way you also have my contact information if you need it. And so I always do that. I send the proposal, then I send the text. And a lot of times they text back and say, hey, thanks so much for chatting with me. And you're just opening up that communication even further. So you're able to, now they also have your phone number in case you did a Zoom chat or something like that. They know you're a real person. They know that you're like reachable. So it just creates that next kind of level of that relationship as well. But then if I don't hear back, then that's what I'll do is 3 or 4 days, I'll shoot an email just off to see follow up. And then if I don't hear back from that email, what I usually do is send them a text and say, hey, just wanted to check in and see if you had any questions on the proposal. Was there anything missing that you were looking for? Something along those lines. Because sometimes what happens is they go and they chat with a family member or a friend or something. And then sometimes some outside things pop into that. But a lot of times they'll just say, I'll usually get a response back from the text then, because I've already texted them. So they know it's me. And they'll say, oh no, I just got busy, you know, or I needed to talk to my mom or whatever that might be. And so majority of the time, yeah, that 85 to 90%, I'll end up closing those sales. And that's kind of what my clients and students end up doing as well once they kind of start working that strategy that I teach. You're never going to be 100% on your close ratio. It's just not feasible. It's never going to happen. So you're always going to have those ones that end up just going someplace else, and that's fine. They just weren't your right fit client, or a parent or some outside person comes into play, and that's fine. So just know, don't get hung up on when you don't end up booking one. Just keep looking forward and continuing to move forward on your next lead that pops into your inbox.
All right, and that concludes the two-part series with Carissa Cruz. If you want to check out more about Carissa, you can even work directly with her. You can go to www.carissacruzweddings.com. She is literally on a mission to help as many wedding pros and creatives become highly sought after in their market. If you're new to the podcast, go back and check out some of the episodes that we've done. We've got some really fun music episodes from Grammy-nominated Joseph Wooten from the Steve Miller Band, Michael Ray of Kool & the Gang, and lots of episodes with CEOs from companies from Party Slay to Releventful last week, to Obsado. So many great conversations that we're going to keep bringing them here on the podcast every single week. Take care of yourselves and each other. You are extraordinary.